1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Landry.
Now, I thought to be a saint, to be sainted by the Catholic Church, you had to have some kind of miracle.
You're talking about Mother Teresa.
I'm talking about Mother Teresa, yeah. They're thinking about making her a saint?
That is correct. Well, she has had miracles attributed to her. She was able to see into a sick child and was able to identify appendicitis. The other thing, Phil, you've got to realize that only Catholic holy people, the saints, have these miraculous abilities. No other Christians can do it. That's why no other Christians get sainted. So only the Catholics have saints, because only the Catholics seem to be the ones, the Catholic saints seem to be the ones that have these miracle abilities, if you will. Okay.
What about those guys that heal? Some of those guys that I've seen on TV that heal, like those, they're not Catholic, they're Christian.
Like who, for instance?
Well, like Pat Robertson, Oral Roberts. You know those guys with that Ernest Ainsley guy?
Oh, those guys are phonies. They scam people.
So the guys on, the preachers on TV, all of them are scamming.
Oh, yeah, all those guys are scamming. The Catholic ones are the real saints. In the case of Mother Teresa, they now have enough hard evidence to suggest that she does have the prerequisites of sainthood. Now, remember, to be beatified is the first state. You've got to have someone say they've seen you do a miracle. Then to become a saint, you've got to have two people say that they have witnessed this. She has exhibited the ability, and this has been from eyewitness accounts, to levitate. She has been able to communicate with animals. She has at least once done what is called dimension shifting. That is going from this dimension to another. She is, of course, and put all that stuff on top of it. She is.
No, wait a minute. She communicates with animals. You mean like the famous St. Francis of Assisi?
That's right.
And she has the ability to levitate. You're talking about leave the ground and float?
That is correct, as witnessed by at least two people she was treating. She, of course, is beloved of God without sin, and her body at this point has exhibited minimal signs of decay.
All right, let me get back to your statement that other faith healers of the Christian faith are con men, but that Mother Teresa was the real deal. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that. Look at these guys, the Oral Roberts, the Jimmy Swaggers. They all wear the slick suits and drive their big cars, and that's what con men do. Plus, they couldn't faith heal, because if they could, then they wouldn't be coming down with prostate cancer and getting popped for sleeping with hookers and all that other nonsense. Mother Teresa was celibate. She didn't drive. She lived in near poverty and didn't take any money for healing folks.
You mentioned that she could fly.
Yes, there were reports. The Vatican needs to substantiate these, that Mother Teresa needed to be in a northern village in India to tend to a sick child and was, in fact, in the south of India. She turned up there the next day.
Well, okay, she could have flown on a jet or something.
Mother Teresa on a jet, yeah. I guess so. She could have hitchhiked, too. Okay, come on, will you? We're talking about Mother Teresa. She represents all Catholic saints. She's the real deal.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Your name's Austin, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and you've done kind of a study of this, because I saw in the news where the Catholic Church is thinking of beatifying, or whatever you call it.
Well, now, beatifying is the first step. And then they move on to sainthood, which requires certification of another miracle.
All right. Now, you say that the prerequisites, that Mother Teresa was able to levitate, she exhibited the ability to communicate with animals.
And there's some evidence that she was able to see inside of this kid that she was treating.
What is that, X-ray vision?
No, it's not X-ray. I suppose you could call it. We're not talking about Superman here. We're talking about a saint performing a miracle. And
well, she saw inside the kid.
Yeah, she could see the kid had a bad appendix. Yeah, if you want to call it X-ray vision, you could do that. But that's what she did.
All right, let's put it all together. X-ray vision, she can fly, communicate with that.
I didn't say fly. I said levitate.
Levitate. Communicate with animals. Now, what's this dimension shifting? What is that?
All right, that is something that very few people, I don't even know that most people are aware of it. I don't even understand it myself. But she would leave this world and go into another world.
Physically.
Physically, that's correct.
And then come back into this world.
Then come back into this world. So that's what you call dimension shifting. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been to two World's Fair and a 4th of July picnic. I had never heard of anything like this before in my life. A nun. And I'm talking about an old nun flying through the air.
Now, you're going to get all the flying nun jokes, okay?
No, well, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. But a nun that floats, she's not getting rotten. And
okay, that's the other thing, that her body is exhibiting minimal signs of decay. Where'd you get all this information?
I got information from people. You go online and pick it up on the Internet. Also, there's people that I know. I've got two very highly placed sources in the Vatican that have told me that her body has not rotted yet and that somebody saw her floating around India somewhere.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 sounds pretty funny to me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show. The Sopranos drinking game now. Now, the last drinking game that I heard about was a drinking game having to do with the Gulf War. That was it. Every time you heard Wolf Blitzer, you got juiced. Then there was another one having to do with the Bob Newhart Show. And every time you heard, something happened on the Bob Newhart Show, you took a drink. Now they got a Sopranos drinking game. In other words, like at the Bob Newhart Show, every time that somebody walked in and said, "Hi, Bob," that you got blitzed. So in this one, when Tony walks out to get the paper in his robe drink. Now, what was I just saying about Tim McGraw pulling a cop off of his horse? Booze is bad. Booze is bad. Am I saying that I don't drink? I'm not saying that. But booze basically is a bad thing when it makes you pull cops off of a horse. Now, here's one here in the Sopranos drinking game. You sit down, you watch the show, and get blasted. Take one drink when Tony walks out to get the paper in his robe. Well, that's every show. Take another drink when they show Meadow in her dorm room. Lately, that's every show. Take another drink when someone mentions pussy, as in this guy that they whacked last season. Big P. Then you take another drink anytime anybody does any drugs. You take another drink when there's a reference to a type of food that you've never heard of, like gabagoo. Well, you have to know a couple of wops to know what gabagoo is, but that's like that meat that Tony passes out every time he sees it. And it's actually spelled something like C-A-P-P-A-L-O. It's like capicoli or something. Just like manigot is manicotti. Take a drink every time Christopher, Paulie, or Silvio make a movie reference. Anytime anybody mentions Tony's late mother, do another drink if she's shown in a flashback. And then if you see, so people who watch Sopranos know every time that, they've gotten more than their fair share of mileage out of Nancy Marchand, who's the actress that played Olivia Soprano, because they must have like endless miles of footage in this woman. Every time somebody talks about her, they've got a flashback that they can, show that wasn't in one of the original shows. It was just like, well, as long as, you're going to die, do you mind doing another? Can we do 12 hours solid on you? Every time Dr. Melfi sees her psychiatrist have a drink, every time Carmela's seen reading a book, anytime there's a dream sequence. See, in other words, all of these things that I'm mentioning happen all the time. So you'll be pretty much blotto by the time the show is over. Just 1 hour. When an old plot line comes back to haunt somebody, anytime they show a topless bada bing dancer, which, by the way, ain't been lately. There was no nudity in the show this past week or the week before, and the ratings, I ain't going to watch anymore. Anytime anybody says, "Know what I'm saying," or "forget about it," anytime Anthony Jr. shows any kind of emotion, well, now there you're going to have a hard time getting a beer because that kid, no matter what happens, he does the same thing. So anytime Anthony Jr. shows any kind of emotion, which is like never, so you're going to be sitting there not having a drink? What is that about? Anytime Uncle Jr. complains about the temperature or his bowels, lately that's been a lot. And then finally, take a drink anytime Christopher loses his temper. Do another drink if he hurts somebody. Christopher is the guy who, well, what can I say about Christopher? He's just the guy with the big nose, and him and Pauly almost beat the Russian up. Then you take two drinks every time you see Adriana's rear end. Hey, what was the whole trip with that one episode where Adriana and that that tennis teacher had the hots for each other? They were two girls. There was like a quasi-lesbian thing that was happening there between Adriana and the tennis instructor, and it just went away. That's a show where more stuff stops and then just goes away than any show I've ever seen in my life. Just a lesbian tennis instructor. Maybe that something was going to happen, and she left the show, and that's the end of that. And then there was Carmella, who maybe she had cancer. Well, that ended after she went to lunch with her girlfriends and had some of that good food there at the Vesuvio. The tennis teacher had the hots for Adriana, and she was totally clueless. All right, then you take two drinks every time a new character gets introduced. So on Sunday night, a new one came on. It was that FBI chick. She was a, I guess she was a file clerk, and now they made her an FBI agent. Anytime anybody gets beaten down or whacked, take two drinks. Every time Meadow sings, she don't sing. Take a couple of drinks when someone within the family or crew tries to shift the balance of power. Take a couple of drinks every time the FBI finds out a damaging piece of information. Take a couple of drinks every time Tony bings someone other than Carmella, which is like, you know, every other episode he's got a new girlfriend. Guy's a real piece of crap. By all rights, Tony ought to just die in a hail of gunfire. I don't care how much he loves his kid. This guy can't stay loyal to his wife. I tell you, if she was gold-plated... Take another couple of drinks every time a shipment of anything gets hijacked. Another couple of drinks every time Ralphie makes a Gladiator reference. You know, you got to watch this show to know what the hell it is that I'm talking about here. So let's just hope that everybody listening right now watches The Sopranos. You got to take a couple of drinks every time someone mentions Svetlana's leg. Take another couple of drinks every time Janice, Tony's sister, and the most annoying character ever to hit TV appears. Janice, Tony's sister. And then finally, when someone is called a fat ass, take a couple of drinks.
Hi, yes, I think ma'am. That anybody who thinks that they can just dress up and they can do anything and get anything from a woman and treat her any way they want to has some very serious ego issues.
Well, you know for a fact that women like a good clothing and a car on a guy.
You know, honestly, I'm 25 years old, and it doesn't matter to me what a guy wears or what a guy drives, as long as he treats me well. And if he treats me badly, I'm kicking him to the curb.
Let me ask a question of you, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, who are these women that you're going? We're talking to women here tonight that would have nothing to do with a guy who.
Look, I explained to that other lady that my friend didn't mean to call her bitch. Okay, that was a mistake.
It doesn't matter. Your whole attitude toward women, that you can treat them any way you want. You can take them to McDonald's and you know that they're going to... I mean, it doesn't matter if you took them out to a 4-star restaurant, if you're assuming, hey, if I give her dinner, she's going to sleep with me. I mean, what are you sleeping with, hookers? Are these
hookers? Are you trying to tell me with a serious face that if I'm in a wool Hugo Boss pick you up in a Lincoln Town car and take you to One Pico, that's like you're not going to have sex?
You know what? You could take me in your private jet, fly me to Paris, buy me anything
bull.
I wanted
that's
to.
Bull.
I
nobody. Remember how that girl said that she didn't believe I had sex with that one woman? I'm listening to you right now. I'm not believing a word you're saying.
And why not? Why aren't you believing her?
There's no way you take a woman to Paris in a private jet and she won't have sex with you.
You know
Why would you go to Paris with me? Why would you go to Paris in my private jet if you didn't think I'd ask you for sex?
Well, gee, you know, I would be under the impression that a date does not automatically require me to have sex with you.
Well, Erica, I don't know how to put this to you, but no woman is worth hiring a private jet, flying her butt halfway around the world, putting her up at the Ritz in Paris, and she's not having no sex?
You know, you have a really low
Every woman has
women.
Her price.
Look, if you invite a woman to fly to Paris with you in your private jet...
What if I charter it?
What?
What if it's a charter?
Well, who cares if it's a charter? If you chartered it, your private... Would it matter to you, Erica, if it was a charter?
It wouldn't matter to me if he owned the jet.
Okay, that's my point,
see.
That's
anything.
My point. Jerry Buss, who owns the Los Angeles Kings, he has his own private jet. You think that the women that he takes up in that don't have sex with him?
You
I don't
think
so.
The women
so.
Would be having sex with
and
him if
Walter
he didn't
O'Malley
own the
too.
King?
What do you mean, Walter O'Malley?
He has, the Dodgers have a jet, and he has sex in it.
Walter O'Malley's been dead since 1979, and he doesn't own the Dodgers.
And besides that, well, the women are having sex with him because they own the major league sports teams. They're not having sex with him because they're nice guys or because they treat them right. I mean, if they were poor, the women sure as hell wouldn't be having sex with
hey,
them.
Hey, Erica, let me tell you a little about a little something called the Mile High Club, okay? Have you ever not heard of it?
You have the lowest opinion of women I have ever heard in my entire life. You're appalling.
No,
you're
I'm just
disgusting.
Saying, you've never heard of the Mile High Club.
Yes, I have,
oh,
and you're
well, wait
still
a second.
Disgusting.
Well, you're talking to me about this. There are women who have sex up in an airplane. Is that my fault? No. There's women who would have sex with me after I take him to Taco Bell. Is that my fault? No. There's women who will have sex with a guy after he calls her a biatch. My fault? Once again, ding, ding, no. So how come I'm discussing?
Because
well, listen
you
to you. You're getting all upset.
Lowest,
yeah, I'm upset.
You have the lowest opinion of women I've ever heard. It's absolutely appalling that you think you can treat women like garbage, and they're still going to like you just because you have some fancy schmancy suit.
Okay, so in
I
other
mean,
words, if I picked you up and you wanted to have dinner, okay, and I said, let's go to Jack in the Box and just come back to my place, you'd be offended?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be having sex with you because, and let me at least get this point out, because I don't just
Yokiro Chris Norton.
Because I don't just have sex with anybody. I'm not just going to go and have the casual affair.
I think we get the point there, Erica. And, Chris, I think we got your point, too. You think a woman will have, as you put it, cess with you because you got on a Hugo Boss.
I didn't say cess. I said cess.
Are you aware that you say that word weird?
What?
Say sex.
Cess.
You said cess.
No, I said sex.
Great.
Phil Hendry.
This man has done more damage to the Italian American people
well, I would think
than
so.
The Sopranos have ever done. He has depicted
What are you
the Italians,
talking about? I'm trying to say
You have depicted the Italians as being nothing but fat, macaroni eating, wine drinking drunks who sit around eating food all day long, own restaurants and belong to the mafia.
What no, I did not say they
How
belong to the mafia. I'm
have
trying
in your
to say
family?
Wait a second, ma'am. I'm trying to say the Italian people are not violent, that they're not angry people like everybody
because
thinks
we
they
eat,
are.
Because we eat macaroni and drink wine. That makes so in
That's
that case,
an indication of how much you love life that you sit around, you love to slop it down or whatever you call it. You mancia,
oh,
that's the word
give
they
it,
use, mancia.
Give
Is that
it
right?
Up. All right, so this is now a great cure for all of the violent people that are in jail right
have
now.
Have a freaking meal,
Let's just
meal,
give them a
yeah.
bowl of pasta and a glass of wine.
Have a meal, yeah. I think there are worse things, Jerry, in this
you?
World than people sitting down and breaking bread together. And what do you guys call it? Mangia. That's Italian feel.
I know what it is.
All right.
No. I'm
you
sorry.
Slop it, you
are
have
coming
meatballs.
Out of left field.
You can't be
totally
killing.
Coming out of left field.
How am I coming out of left field? You can't be killing people or being angry if you're shoving a meatball in your face. You know that's
oh,
true.
Oh, give me a break. And what about you? So if you shove a knish in your face, you're not going to go out and kill somebody either?
I mean, let me tell you something. The Jewish people had a tough world, okay?
So that justifies Bugsy
so
Siegel and that justifies Meyer Lansky. And
don't ever call him Bugsy.
What?
My grandparents were Italian immigrants.
Call him Benjamin.
And they had a very, very hard time when they first came here from the other side.
What, getting a liquor license? What are you talking about?
Give
I mean,
it
come
up.
Over
my
here.
Grandfather was a construction worker. My grandmother was a homemaker. My mother worked for many, many years in the Garment Center in New York City. They weren't mafia people. They weren't.
I didn't say that they were. I'm trying to say Italians are not in the mafia. They're eating too much food.
Yeah, but see, what you're doing is this.
You're stereotyping
you're saying
Italians.
Italian people are not violent people because they're shoveling macaroni into their kisser.
And that's, oh, all of a sudden now that's bad.
Well, you're making them out to sound like fat slobs who
that's
don't.
That's as bad as saying that all black people sit around eating watermelon all day long.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And we'll finish out the hour taking a few of your calls and see what's going on with you out there. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Is this Ray? How you doing?
Oh, hi, Phil. I called you yesterday about your diet.
I do remember you. Yeah, you've called me a couple of weeks in a row about my diet.
Yeah, and I want to know how you're doing on it.
228 pounds, Ray.
Boy, that, you know, when you talk about it, it gives me a feeling like I want to do better with my diet, but I don't know.
Well, you told me last week you're 307 pounds, and you lost 8 pounds in 11 weeks.
8 pounds, 11 weeks, right.
And, boy, you are chubby. I can hear the chub sort of there in your cheeks, right?
Yeah. That was the first place the doctor said, because I had asked you when you were on the diet, you said you lost weight in your face. You know?
What?
When I first talked to you, you said you lost weight in your face.
Yeah, my wife said to me that my head was smaller.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, you know, so I can lose some of the fat in my cheeks. And people understand what I'm saying.
Well, I can understand you fine. So 307 pounds in 11 weeks. I mean, 8 pounds in 11 weeks. You're down to 307 from what?
315.
Okay. So what exactly is your goal weight here?
Well, my goal weight, my goal weight is 185 pounds.
And at this rate?
At this rate, it could take me about 5 years.
To lose it. So you're going to have to do something more. Can I just tell you one thing? I've been thinking a little bit about that exercise regimen that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
You said that you wanted to do pull-ups.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pull-ups are good, man, but you're going to have to do at least one. And just hanging from the bar...
Well, right now I weigh 307 pounds.
But... I understand that it's difficult to pull yourself up, but at some point you're going to have to pull yourself up. Because hanging from the bar is not exercise.
Well, it's a challenge just to hang from the bar and not fall off.
Because you're supporting all that weight.
Yeah. So that's a challenge. And, I don't know.
Well, try doing a pull-up. And that other thing you said about not eating Cuban food, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Cuban food is fattening.
Cuban food may be fattening, but you don't eat... It's not going to get you to lose weight. Yes, Cuban food is fattening. You're right. But you live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where there are no Cuban restaurants. So what are you eating now?
Right now I have potato skins over like one of the barbecue places.
Well, there, that's what I'm saying. Potato skins isn't going to do it. Just because you're not eating Cuban food, potato skins, you can see the grease just dripping off of those things.
Well... what do you think about starting your own sit-up program?
I'd say that's very good.
Because I'm starting sit-ups, too. And
well, how are you doing those?
Well, right now I'm practicing by laying on the floor. And then
So in other words, you're doing, see that you're doing pull-ups by hanging there and you're doing sit-ups?
By just laying there.
Okay, see, dude, that's not a sit-up, man. That's a...
No, I know.
Well, where do you get your exercise? If you're doing a sit-up by just laying there, what do you get?
By having... Well, then I got to get up.
So you get on the floor...
Sometimes I do sit-ups in a recliner by pulling...
By what?
By pulling on the lever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, that'll do it. Holy God. I'm sure the cat's doing... the cat's doing sit-ups. He's pulling the freaking lever in the recliner. That's choice. Oh, God. Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686. Go over here to Vernon. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing?
Good.
I love the way that you guys have a ball, don't you?
We have a lot of fun, yes, sir.
Phil, the reason why I'm calling, that guy who wanted to please the Japanese by changing Pearl Harbor.
That was Dr. Green. He wanted to make sure that the Japanese were not offended by the movie Pearl Harbor by changing it.
Well, I think that we should have made the movie so that we won the Battle of Pearl Harbor. That would give the United States something to be proud of, because right now this country is going straight to hell. And
I see. So let's remake it so that what? So that we shot all the planes out of the sky?
Yeah. Well, the way I'd like to see it is so we shot all the planes out of the sky and they didn't drop any bombs at all. And they just, as soon as one guy shot a gun at them, they just turned and ran.
Yeah, that's great. And the kids will believe that, huh?
Well, the children, like you said, most kids don't read history, but that'll make me feel good. And then we could be proud of our military again, because right now I think that what as Clinton has done, and I know that President Bush is trying to build it back up, but I think Clinton has made us such a weak nation militarily that we need to instill some pride in ourselves. I think if we showed our fighting men a movie about Pearl Harbor, where we were able to shoot all the planes out of the sky and not one ship was lost.
How about if we remake a movie about World War II where we win it in a week?
That would be good, yeah. We just drop bombs, A-bombs everywhere, and it's over in a week.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that. I'll make sure that I...
Well, what are you laughing? I can understand you laughing at that fat pig. What are you laughing at me?
Well, I didn't mean to laugh, because you're so much more sensible than him. He was doing sit-ups by sitting in a recliner and pulling the lever, and all you want to do is remake Pearl Harbor so that we won the war in a week. How about this? How about if no Jews died?
Well, let's not go overboard of it.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Ian. Hi, you're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, I love listening to your program all the week.
All the week, thank you.
I don't know if you heard, but Michael Imperioli was on Larry King on Friday night. All the Sopranos was on Larry King on Friday night.
Right, I saw that, part of it. I taped it and brought it home. What'd you think?
Oh, I like Sopranos. I thought it was a good program, good run. And but they Michael Imperioli was on from London.
Right. Yeah, that's where he was. His segment was from London, right?
That's right. And Larry King asked him about what you're doing in London, and he said, "Larry, I'm over here promoting the DVD and the VHS release of season 2." Of The Sopranos.
Season 2 on DVD and VHS in England.
That's right. So, you see, London's got it, Britain's got it, America's not got it. And I know that you like Sopranos. I know you've got season 1 on a DVD, right?
I've got it on VHS, yes.
Well, now Britain's got season 2. You don't have season 2. So, ha, 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 you don't have season 2. Ha, 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 you don't have season 2.
All right, that's fine. I don't have season 2.
You wish you did, though, didn't you? You want to have that DVD and all that. You don't have season 2.
Well, who cares?
Well, you're pretending like you don't. But you do. You know,
I don't care if I don't have season 2.
You don't have season 2.
Stop it.
You don't have season 2. You don't
quit it.
You have season 2. You have season.
Shut up! So we don't have season 2. So what am I going to do about it, huh? Cry over spilt milk? We don't have season 2 DVD of The Sopranos. Which, by the way, that interview that Larry King, you know, was really good despite Larry King. 1-800-449-8686. And, Jane, hi, you're on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Oh, I was going to say what you just said about Larry King. I thought, do you watch Larry King?
No, I can't. I'm working.
Well, you are lucky. You are fortunate because I can't believe the way he butchers every interview now. And it...
Well, that Sopranos interview was butchered up beyond belief. I know that because I had taped that and brought it home.
Oh, he just cuts everyone, and I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he was ever any good. But consider yourself fortunate that you work during the hour that his show is on, because he is, without a doubt, he's trash, you know. And,
well, I wouldn't call Larry King trash.
No, he really is. He's suspender-snapping trash. And I'm just sorry that he couldn't get into an automobile accident.
All right, I don't think that that's fair to say about Larry King, who is, he's the king. Larry King's the king. He's one of the best. But he did. He carved that Sopranos thing, man. Whew. That was the worst. Asking the stupidest questions I ever heard in my life. Like, here was his opening question. Will there be somebody not there Sunday night that we're used to seeing? Will someone get whacked? And finally, they had to say, look, Larry, we're not going to answer those questions. We're not going to ruin it for the millions of people that want to see this show. The all 5 million of them that want to see this show. All right, well, what I'm trying to get to is, we got what you're trying to get to. We're not going to answer the question. And they were much more polite than that. So that was Larry. Anyway, I might as well go on Goodfella Henry here and see if there have been any really juicy posts since the last time I saw this. As you know, Goodfella Henry is Henry Hill's website. And, you know, this is our last bit of mob talk. I guarantee it. I swear to God. Until the next really good mob movie or next April, whatever comes first. Till the next Sopranos comes out. But as long as we've got our Goodfella Henry site up, I thought I'd see. And are we not connected? Maybe we're not connected. Trying to get a refresher here on somebody's post. They're fantastic because he has the threat of the week on here. Okay, so it's not there. All right. Well, we're going to leave now, and next week we promise. Is it next week we're back or tomorrow? Oh, did it mean tomorrow? We promise we'll have something to say about that and other things. Jesus, this show, man. It started out very promising, and it's sort of like... And it's ending with what? What is this song? Soundgarden.
You said your family works for PG&E. I hope they don't turn up bald with all kinds of baldness from cancer.
No, actually, they're going to be broke because all of their pension money was tied up in the stock that PG&E had them buy. After 30 years of working for them, that was their stock options. That was their retirement plan. And at one point in time...
And Aaron Brockovich took it all away from them.
PG&E took it away from them.
No, okay. Aaron Brockovich
took... PG&E, when they built the dams in the other states, instead of getting to build them in California, they couldn't build them in California. We are total liberals out here, and we didn't want any more
power. You can blame Aaron's top gods. That's who did it.
One person couldn't bring down a state. Get real.
Get real with this. When you see your family members without any money, just think of those big boobs slapping across your face.
Okay, I've had enough of him with the slap in the boobs.
I can't even believe this.
Unbelievable, this guy. Everything with him, you'd think the whole problem with the state of California were that woman's breasts.
You know what? I wish that was the only problem we had because it would be easy to handle. You know, unfortunately, California, and I love it. I'm born and raised here, born and raised in San Francisco.
Right.
I adore this place. My folks have been here their whole entire life.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we're a little too liberal sometimes. We make mistakes.
A liberal? Lot of this is the far west.
And it was wrong. We blew it. We screwed up. And we need to take responsibility for it. And our state needs, you know, our governor needs to take responsibility. And we need to get out of this situation. Who is burping? That's rude.
That is absolutely disgusting.
My 8-year-old son, he gets his face slapped at the dinner table for behaving like that. I think your mom needs to teach you some manners.
So in other words, Roberta, I'm not allowed to drink
it. Your mama needs to
I'm not allowed to drink a Diet Coke. I'm not allowed to drink a Diet Coke, but Aaron Brockovich can go ahead and shove $330 million down into her brassiere and pass it out.
And I don't burp in people's ears.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, ha ha. What a baby. What a baby.
His mama needs to take him over her knee and you know, put him in his place. Because he really has a problem.
Ma'am, I worked to get Bill Clinton out of office. And
well,
what did
you know
I get
what?
For my...
You
what did
know,
I get? I got, you know what I got for my... You know what I got for my trouble? I live on the service porch in my mother's house on a cot.
Who put you there, honey? I got relatives too that are living at home with their mom and dad. And you know what? They're there because they won't get off their lazy butts and go to work. That's their problem. My husband and I work every single day. And when we needed the money, not only did I work at the job and take care of my house, I got another job to help out while my husband was getting his business off the ground.
Did it ever get off the ground? Did it ever get off the ground, or are you still at the Little General?
Oh, no, baby, honey. We are doing so great. It ain't even funny.
Really?
Okay? And they try to put us down, and they try to keep us down, and they can't. Okay?
Well, that's those white people will do that.
You know what? I am.
All right.
I'm white. Okay.
You're sure about
I'm
that?
Italian.
Well, then how come you're talking like a black guy?
German person. Because I wanted to see if you'd be that racist about that, too.
You, will you please?
I live in Felton. I live in redneck country down in near Santa Cruz, okay? Don't even go there. I'm married to a redneck.
You're married to a redneck.
And I am married to a redneck. And I'm proud of it, okay?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The next time that he calls you sister... Just remember that...
I don't have any sisters. I'm an only child. You want to do something? You know, keep going.
You want to do something about it? You want to do something about it? Come on.
Do something about what?
Come at me.
Do something about what?
You know,
I'm not the one that has the problem.
Just because you're a girl, I won't just go ahead and start swinging. And don't think you can put your boobs up in my face and try to get that going.
You know what? I've never had to use my boobs to get anything. That doesn't work.
Well, you never could get anything with those boobs.
Oh, yeah, I could.
Oh, man.
They're ample. My husband finds them to be ample, so you can get off that one, too.
Well, that's good for a guy that's 4'2".
Bill.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was so huge.